وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته أما بعد Respected dear friends, pondering over the current state of Muslims today, we see Muslims throughout the whole world are facing difficulties, problems, are facing trials and tribulations. The Muslims today are disregarded, they are looked down upon. Whereas Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions, Kunna adhilla, that we were once looked down upon as well. We were downtrodden. People used to look down on the Muslims and torture the Muslims. Nahnu qawmun a'azzan Allahu bil Islam. We are such a community that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us respect, honor, dignity through Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us dignity, honor through Islam. The question is, my dear friends, why is it today that Muslims are looked down upon? Why is it that Muslims themselves feel that they are being looked down upon? Why is it that Muslims feel embarrassed to practice upon their own religion? It is very sad to say, very unfortunate today, my brothers, the Muslims are the problems for Muslims. They are not practicing upon Islam as they meant to. A very famous poet says, he says, وَمُعَزَّزْتِ اُس زَمَانِ مِنْ مُسْلْمَانْ هُوْ كَرْ هَمْخَارْ هُوَ اِس زَمَانِ مِنْ تَارِكِ قُرْآنْ هُوْ كَرْ He mentions that the Muslims in the time of the Sahaba, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were respected. They had honor and dignity because they were Muslims. And today, why are we disgraced? Because we have left the Quran. We have left the Quran, the teachings of the Quran. As the Shaykh al-Hind rahimahullah ta'ala, after he was falsely imprisoned, pondering over the state of the Muslims, when questioned, what is the fault in Muslims today? What is making the Muslim, what is the downfall of the Muslims today? He mentions two things. There are two downfalls we find in Muslims today. The first point he mentioned is the disunity in Muslims. Muslims are not united. They have a different opinion in each and every matter. Whether it be very trivial, insignificant, very small issues, Muslims start fighting each other. They start hurting each other. People have, the ulama have mentioned, if a person or a community wants to start an organization, they want to make the organization successful, my brothers, they need to be united. We as a Muslim, we want to propagate our religion. We want to make Islam the way of life. We first need to unite together, my brothers, in order to propagate Islam properly. The second point Shaykh al-Hafidh rahimahullah ta'ala mentions is that we have left the Quran. We have left the teachings of the Quran. And we see, my brothers, all those who have adopted the way of the Salaf, all those who have practiced upon the Quran, who have learned the Quran, they have been honored in this world and the hereafter. Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, Al-Quranu ghinan la faqra ba'dahu wa la ghinan dunahu. That the Quran is such wealth. The Quran is such wealth that there is no poverty after this. And there is no wealth without it. My brothers, we can have as much as wealth as we want in this world. But my brothers, it would not give us peace of heart, contentment of heart. My brothers, we can have as much as wealth as we want in this world. But my brothers, the contentment, peace, tranquility, the Quran will give us in this world as well as the hereafter. Wealth will not give us this. This is why the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that the Quran is such wealth. The Quran is such wealth that there is no poverty after it. This is why we see the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, despite living life of poverty, not eating for a few days, going through so much difficulty, they lived a happy life because they had the Quran, they had the teachings of the Quran in their lives. My brothers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, they had la ghinan dunahu. There is no other wealth except for the Quran. Whoever has Quran in his life, my brothers, he has everything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, al Quranu ahabbu ilallahi min as-samawati wal ardi wa man fihin, that the Quran in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more beloved than the heavens and the earth and everyone who lives in these heavens and earth. My brothers, the Quran has a very high status, but it, as Muslims, we have left behind the Quran. We do not fulfill the rights of the Quran. The ulama have mentioned that the Quran has three rights. The Quran has three rights. The first right as Muslims, that is that we should recite the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent into this world with many objectives. One of the objectives was to recite the Quran to the people. And this is a form of worship and this is the right of the Quran. As Muslims, we should make a point that every day we recite the Quran. It is necessary for us to recite the Quran in Salah. Even outside Salah, we should recite the Quran. It comes regarding Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they were the third Khalifa of Islam, when the rebels came to martyr Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a Sahabiya, she narrates that she said to the people, the rebels that were coming to kill him, you are going to kill such a person who reads the whole Quran in one rakat. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu, such connection they had with the Quran, that in one rakat they would read the whole Quran. Regarding many, many scholars, Imam Shafi, Imam Abu Hanif, rahimullah ta'ala, in the month of Quran, every day they would read one whole Quran. One whole Quran in the month of Ramadan, every day. And we find many, many examples, my brothers, in our pious Salaf al-Saliheen, in the Sahaba, they would read Quran continuously. What is our state today, my brothers? We don't pick up the Quran. We hardly read the Quran. Even when we're praying Salah, my dear friends, unfortunately, we don't even move our lips. We don't even read the Quran when we're in Salah. But this is the first right of the Quran, to read the Quran, to recite the Quran. The second right of the Quran, my brothers, is to learn the Quran, to learn the teachings of the Quran. My brothers, how unfortunate it is today, my brothers, that many of us regard the Quran to be perfect. We regard the Quran to be a means of guidance for us. But my brothers, I want to ask everyone here a question. I want to ask everyone here a question. That you have memorized Surah Al-Fatiha from when you were a child. You have memorized Surah Al-Fatiha when you were a child. How many of us here know the meaning of the Quran? How many of us know the meaning of Surah Fatiha? How many of us can explain what messages Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us in Surah Fatiha? Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he gives a very good example about the Quran and how much zeal we should have in learning the Quran, learning what messages the Quran gives to us. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that the Quran is like a letter. When a person in this world receives a letter from his beloved, when a person in this world receives a letter from his beloved in a foreign language, in a language he does not understand, he will go through every effort to translate this letter from his beloved. My brothers, he would go through every effort to translate the message in this letter. But the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, has given us many messages in the Quran. But not once have we ever pondered that should we find out the meanings of these messages. When we receive a message on our phones, even if it is in Salah, the first thing we do after we break Salah is check our messages. We wait for Salah to finish so we can check our phones. When we receive letters at home, We feel really eager to know what is in the Quran, what is in this letter. But how much zeal do we have to learn what messages Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great being, the pure, the almighty, all-powerful, our creator, what messages did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us in the Quran? We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. We have time for everything except for the being who has created time. We have time for everything but except for the purpose of our creation. We have everything in. We have time for everything, my dear friends, except for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created jinnkind and mankind, but only for my worship. But only for my worship. But how much time do we leave aside for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is food for thought, my brothers. I humbly request everyone to take these points and inshallah start practicing. The first point was to start reciting the Quran in daily basis. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Salim Dorat Hafidhahullah Ta'ala mentions, my brothers, make intention that I will recite Quran daily, whether it be one ayah every day. One ayah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I've read that much, close the Quran and tomorrow open and read Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Make intention, my brothers. The Quran is such a book that when you start reading it, you will not stop. When you start reading it, you will not stop. So make intentions for the first point. Every day I would read a portion of the Quran, even if it is one ayah a day. The second point, my brothers, is learn the meanings of the Quran, the messages of the Quran. The Quran is a message, is a book of guidance for mankind. My brothers, learn the messages of the Quran. Go to the durus of the ulama. Go to the durus of the ulama and learn what the meaning, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran. Acquire authentic, reliable books of tafsir and learn the meanings of the Quran. Attend programs wherein the Quran is explained. And the third point, my brothers, the third right of the Quran is to propagate the Quran, to tell other people about the messages in the Quran. The first way we can go about this is, my brothers, first adopting the qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to adopt in the Quran. When a person becomes a walking, talking Quran, this is the best form of propagating your religion, propagating the Quran. When a person sees that a person has the correct characteristics of the Quran, then a person will automatically feel the need to follow in these footsteps. And the third point, my brothers, is to propagate the Quran, whether it be in the form of lectures, whether it be in the form of telling other brothers about it, propagate the Quran. These are the three rights of Quran, my brothers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us on the Day of Judgment with regards to the Quran. My brothers, there's so many benefits mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, emphasizing the importance of the Quran. My brothers, like I mentioned in the beginning, that the downfall of the Ummah today is because we have left the Quran. We have left the Quran. Another point the ulama have mentioned, that the downfall of the Ummah today is the lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. My brothers, I would like to mention a point over here, that the distinguishing factor between a human being and animals is intellect, is the faculty to understand, learn, acquire knowledge. Otherwise, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, even animals eat, drink and sleep. Even animals fulfill their carnal desires. Even animals do this. So if a person lives in this world to eat, drink and sleep and fulfill their desires, what's the difference between him and animals? There is no difference. The difference is that we have the capability to understand, learn and recognize our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can learn the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adopt these into our lives. This is why when Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala was asked, Manin Nas, who are people? Who can we really call people? Or who is worthy of being called a human being? When Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala was asked, he said, Al-Ulama. The Ulama are worthy of being called human beings. They are the true human beings. Why? Why? Because they are truly carrying out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not like animals. They eat, sleep and drink and fulfill the carnal desires. Rather, they acquire the knowledge of the Sharia, they acquire the knowledge of the deen, and they practice upon the knowledge of the deen. My brothers, it is very important for us today that we will learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But keep in mind, my brothers, learning is not enough. Learning is not enough. We have to also practice upon our deen. Al-ilmu bila amal kashajari bila thamar. If a person acquires knowledge, but he does not practice upon his knowledge, he's like a tree. He's like a tree which does not bear fruit. If a tree does not bear fruit, it is of no use to us. A tree without no fruit is of no use to us. If a person has an apple tree and it bears no fruit, it is of no use. An alim, a person who acquires knowledge and does not practice upon that knowledge, then such a person, he has not acquired true knowledge. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that when a person acquires knowledge, then knowledge knocks on the door of action. Knowledge knocks on the door of action. If someone does not open the door of action, then this knowledge also goes away. Just the way a person when he knocks on the door of another person and he does not reply, then this knowledge also goes away. So we, in order to keep our knowledge to how it is, when we learn that recitation of the Quran is compulsory, it is upon us to practice upon this knowledge. When we learn that practicing upon the Quran is compulsory on us, and this is something we need to do, it becomes compulsory on us to act upon our knowledge. So this is the second point I would like to mention, my brothers. Learn knowledge. Learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attend gatherings. Attend gatherings. Consult the ulama. Sit in the gatherings of the ulama. And one other point I want to mention with regards to knowledge, my dear friends, is acquire knowledge through authentic, reliable sources. Allama Ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions in his book of hadith, very famous book of hadith, he mentions in there that Allama Ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that al-ilmu deenun, that knowledge is deen. Knowledge is deen. فَلْيَنْظُرْ عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. Make sure, be wary, be careful from whom you take your religion from. My brothers, if knowledge is deen, if our knowledge of deen is corrupted, our deen will also be corrupted. If we look into history, all those Muslims who have deviated from the straight path, they have only deviated from the straight path because of lack of knowledge, because of ignorance, because they did not take authentic, reliable knowledge. So my brothers, this is a very, very important point. My Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Salim Dorat Hafizahullah Ta'ala mentions that ilm, knowledge, is the backbone of Sharia, is the backbone of our deen, our religion. In order to keep our religion intact, we need to acquire authentic, reliable knowledge. Here again, my brothers, I would suggest that you sit in the gatherings of the ulama, you attend the gatherings of the ulama, you read authentic, reliable books. Not another problem today, my brothers, we have is whenever it is a matter of Sharia, of deen, of our religion, we tend to Google the matter. My brothers, I want to ask you, if we have a medical problem, medical difficulty, do we Google the matter or do we go to the experts? We go to the doctors. Whenever we have an issue with our the law, we go to the lawyers. But when it comes to deen, religion, my brothers, we take from anyone. We take from anyone on Google, on YouTube, we take from anyone. We do not see if this person has a sanad, a chain of narration. We do not see if this person is authentic. We do not see if this person has studied under authentic, reliable scholars. We just take our knowledge of deen, of Sharia from anyone. No, my brothers. This is harming our deen, our religion, our Islam. Just imagine, my brothers, that the person we are taking knowledge from, he tells us something wrong in aqidah, in our beliefs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgments asks us about these beliefs. That why did you take your deen from such a person whose beliefs were wrong? So my brothers, knowledge is essential for a person to become a good practicing Muslim. Knowledge is key. My brothers, knowledge is very important for a person to become a practicing Muslim. So the first point, my brothers, was the Qur'an. Connect yourself with the Qur'an. Understand the meaning of the Qur'an. The second point is acquire authentic, reliable knowledge. And the third point I would like to mention, my brothers, is that the sin, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why we have disconnected or gone far away from the religion of Islam, our own religion, is due to sin, my brothers. The more we sin, the more we are disconnected and the more we are distanced from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allama Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, he has written a book just on the effects and adverse effects of sins. And he has mentioned the adverse effect of sin is that a person's heart is hardened. When a person's heart is hardened, he does not accept the truth. He does not accept anything which is the truth. His heart is hardened and he will continue to sin. And he will continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until a time will come where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seal away his heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give such a person the ability to repent and do tawbah from his sins, my brothers. So, my brothers, do not carry on sinning. Do not carry on sinning. Bilal ibn Sa'd rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that when you do a sin, do not look at this disobedience. Rather, look at who you are disobeying. You're disobeying your Creator. You're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, who has given you everything, who has given you iman, who has given you hands, feet, he has given you wealth, he has given you good family, he has given you so much, he's so merciful, so he has so much compassion towards his creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you everything. How can I sin such a Creator? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentions that all sins, all disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are major. Because why? Who are you sinning? Who are you disobeying? Who are you disobeying? You're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why, my brothers, this is very important to stay away from the sin. To stay away from sin. My Shaykh Hafidhahullah ta'ala gives an example. When the thought of sin comes to your mind, when the thought of sin comes to your mind, do not entertain it. Do not go by your thought. Why? Because just the way a guest comes to your house, the first time if you entertain your guest, you let it into your house, you let the guest come to your house, you feed the guest, what will happen? He will keep on coming. But the first time the guest comes to your house and you do not invite him to your house, you do not entertain your guest, what will happen? The next time your guest will not come to your house. The same thing is with sins, my brothers. When the thought of sin comes to your mind, do not entertain the thought. Do not go about this thought. Let the thought away. Do not sin. Whatever comes your way, my brothers, do not sin. Many people today, unfortunately, they do not regard sin to be sin because they have been engrossed in sin day in, day out. Their heart has become sick. Their heart has become sick, and they cannot acknowledge sin to be sin. Just the way Mashaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala gives another example. He says when a person is ill, when he has flu, when he has a fever, and when someone gives him a very good, delicious meal, he would not like that meal. He would say, this delicious food is not nice. My brothers, today is our state. Today is the same with our state today, my brothers. We do not want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not want to recite the Quran. We do not find pleasure in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why, my brothers? Because worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleasurable. No, my brothers, our heart is filthy. Our heart is full of sins. This is why we do not find pleasure in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my brothers, I guarantee you, if a person starts worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he ought to, if a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he ought to for a few weeks, for a few months, only then he will feel the true pleasure of ibadah, of worship. This is why we see in the life of the Sahaba, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they were putting boulders on his chest, when they were whipping him, he was not even feeling the pain. The only thing that came from his tongue, my dear brothers, was Ahad, Ahad, Ahad. I worship only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama have mentioned that the pain he was going through, this all was taken away just by him saying, Ahad, Ahad, I only believe in one Allah. There are many examples, my dear friends. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, once he stood in namaz, he stood in salah. When he was praying salah, after he prayed salah, he saw he had 16 to 17 stings on his body. The bees and the wasps were biting him, they were stinging him. And so he was asked afterwards, why did you not break your salah? 16, 17 stings. He goes, I did not even notice these things were biting me when I was praying salah. This is how much pleasure This is how much pleasure they had in praying salat, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find the example of the Sahaba. When the Sahaba were watching out for the enemies in the night time, the two Sahabi, they were praying salat. They took turns. One of them would sleep and one of them would engross themselves in salah. One of them would sleep and the other would engross themselves in salah. So one of them was praying salah, and the enemy saw this person, the Muslim, he saw the Sahabi praying salah, and he started shooting arrows at this Sahabi. He started shooting arrows at this Sahabi, and he shot so many arrows at this Sahabi that he was bleeding from different parts of his body. After, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "Why did you not break your salah? Why did you not break your salah and inform us?" He goes, "Oh Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I was having so much pleasure in bowing down, in conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my salah. I did not feel the pain I was going through that shook me with the arrow." My brothers, this is the pleasure in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are ill, because we are sick, our heart has become filthy. We do not find the pleasure in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to cleanse our heart, my brothers. We need to cleanse our heart from filth and sin. And only then we will be truly be able to understand the true pleasure of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only then we will be able to fulfill our rights as human beings and worship our Lord totally. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to act upon what has been said. My brothers, the religion of Islam, my brothers, is not just a religion like other religions. The religion of Islam is a way of life. It teaches us how to eat. It teaches us how to sleep. It teaches us every aspect of our life. My brothers, this religion of Islam is something we should be proud of, which is something we should practice. But why is it that we feel embarrassed to practice our religion? Why? When our religion is perfect, my brothers, our religion is perfect, we should feel proud to practice our religion. This is why when you find in the lives of the Sahaba that when the non-Muslims at that time, they would look down on those who used to put the trousers below the ankle. Whoever used to put the trousers above the ankle, the people used to look down on such people. When the Sahaba used to be asked, "Why do you put your trousers above your ankle?" They used to say, "How can we leave the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for these foolish people who do not understand the religion of Allah, who do not acknowledge or recognize the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we leave our deen, our religion, for such people who do not even recognize the Creator?" May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to act upon these points. The first point I would like to conclude, my brothers, and go over these points again. So the first point I mentioned, my brothers, is our relationship with the Qur'an. Our relationship with the Qur'an. To recite the Qur'an is the first rite of the Qur'an. So make a point, my brothers, daily we should recite the Qur'an. The second rite of the Qur'an, my brothers, is to practice upon each and every lessons and teachings of the Qur'an. So we should practice upon the lessons of the Qur'an. And we can only do this, my brothers, if we learn the meanings and teachings of the Qur'an from the ulama, from acquiring authentic, reliable books of tafsir. So learn the Qur'an, practice upon the Qur'an, and propagate this Qur'an. Okay? And the second point, my brothers, I would like to mention is knowledge. Knowledge. Acquire knowledge of Sharia. Do not, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslimin wa muslima, that acquiring knowledge is necessary upon each and every Muslim, man and woman. And the muhaddithun have mentioned with regards to the hadith, why is it necessary? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned a very good point. He goes, acquiring knowledge of Sharia is more necessary for a person than how much is more necessary for a person in one day than how much a person needs to eat in one day. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala explains that a human being, he eats once or twice in a day. A human being eats once or twice in a day. Whereas a human being, he needs to have sufficient knowledge of Sharia throughout each and every step of his life. This is why knowledge of Sharia is very important, my brothers. We have the likes of the Sahaba. We have the likes of the Sahaba who dedicate their whole lives in the acquisition of ilm, of the acquisition of Sharia, to understand and learn the Sharia. They would spend their whole lives and dedicate their whole lives just acquiring the knowledge of Sharia. So my brothers, this is a very important point. We do not even take our time to learn the Sharia. We do not even acquire books of books, authentic, reliable books to learn our Sharia. So this is very important to learn and learn the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through God-fearing ulama, attending auspicious programs, etc. So this is very important for us, my brothers, to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely so we can practice upon our knowledge, and thereafter we can propagate this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third point I would like to mention, my brothers, is to distance ourselves from sins, to stay away from sins. We should make a point, my brothers, that we will not sin. Come what may, I will not sin. I will never sin Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This thought always comes to us that I will only do this once. I will only do this sin once, my brothers. My Shaykh Hafidhahullah ta'ala again gives the example of a person who is addicted to drugs. The first time a person takes drugs, my brothers, he thinks, I will only take this drug once. I will only take this drug once, and thereafter I will stop. And then what happens? He takes this drugs few times. He takes this drug few times with this set of mind that I am in full control. I am in full control. I can stop taking this drug whenever I want. But then he does not know, my brothers, that a few more times he takes these drugs and this becomes a heinous addiction. He cannot leave this addiction of his, even if he has to sacrifice his wealth, even if he has to sacrifice his family, even if he has to sacrifice his own life, my brothers, he cannot stay away from this drug. Similar is our case, my dear friends, with the sin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we start disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first time we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we think we'll only do this once. We think we'll only do this once. And then we'll do tawbah, we'll repent. No, my brothers, we do this few times, and we carry on doing this sin, and then we get addicted to this sin, and we carry on sinning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not knowing, my brothers, that this sin has filled our heart with filth, and the time will never come, my brothers, when we say, tomorrow I will repent from these sins. My brothers, tomorrow never comes. Who knows, my brothers, when death will come and knock on our doors, my brothers. Death can come at any time, and this is why we should be ready to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of death. Mashaykh Hafidhahullah ta'ala again gives another example. When we come to the masjid for Jummah Salah, for five times Salah, we try and keep our clothes pure from any filth. We keep our clothes clean from pure filth when you enter the masjid. Why is it that we want to? Because this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why when we enter the masjid, we ensure that our clothes are pure. Why is it that we don't worry that when we pass away and when we are going to truly meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our hearts are not filthy with sins? Our hearts should not be filthy with sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, يُبَعَثُ كُلَّ عَبْدٍ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ, that each and every servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be resurrected in the state he passes away. My brothers, we do not know what day or what time we will be passing away. It could be any moment. And this is why, my brothers, we should be ready each and every moment of our life. So let's make a point today, my brothers. I would like everyone here at this moment listening to me to make a point from now on, inshallah ta'ala, that from today onwards I have done tawbah, I have repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From today onwards, I will not sin Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a single moment. Make intentions, my brothers. Who knows when we are going to pass away? It could be any second. It could be after a day, after a week, my brothers. But because of your intentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept your intentions, my brothers. And through the accepting of your intentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you the tawfiq and ability to change. My brothers, everyone here has the ability to change. Everyone here has the ability to become the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many youth, my brothers, today, they think, becoming good practicing Muslims is not for me. I cannot become a good practicing Muslim. No, brothers, each and every individual can become the close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every person, whether they be male, female, whether he be young or old, each and every person can become the close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the way, my brothers, you would not tell a blind person, do not look at me, because he does not have the ability to look. So we did not order him to do something which he does not have the ability to do. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do only those things which we have the capability to do. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to pray our fajr and salah, give our zakah, perform the hajj, stay away from looking at non-mahrams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, knows that we have the ability, the capability to stay away from these sins. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to carry out these actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to act upon all these points. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Ameen.
Inshallah, all brothers are